call John Beal, 1-800. New roof.
Attention bikers! This Sunday is the Thunder Alley Motorcycle Parts Extravaganza Swap Meet and Bike Show at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds in Belleville, Illinois. 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. Over 200 booths filled with new and used parts for your Harley Davidson and Metric motorcycle at bargain prices. TM Motorsports Black Track Races. That's this Sunday at the Belle Claire Fairgrounds. Route 13 and Highway 159 just off Route 15. Sponsored by Freeze Harley Davidson, Larry's Trailer Sales, Thunder Roads Magazine, RS Graphics, and Belleville Honda. Register to win a 2014 Harley Davidson.
What's the best way to bring people together?
T-shirts!
T-shirts. Custom T-shirts that you design online with Custom Ink. Custom Ink has created over 30 million shirts for families, teams, reunions, church groups, cheerleaders, companies big and small. On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your Custom Ink T-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. Visit CustomInk.com.
Subway is serving up a steak, egg white, and cheese flatbread breakfast sandwich under 200 calories. Yes, even with that tender steak. One place only, Subway. Eat fresh.
How old are your smoke alarms? Replace them today with Kidde worry-free alarms. Get 10 years of power and no low battery chirps. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
Hit the B square.
Yeah. So hit the B square.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Auric. Go to one of their locally owned and operated stores in the St. Louis area or go online and see what they have at O-R-E-C-K. That's auric.com. And in either of those places, you can check out the new Auric Magnesium RS Vacuum Cleaner, the newest from Auric, which sucks more than the rest. No, that's not what the copy says.
Wait a minute.
Well, actually, in the vacuum cleaner business, sucking is a good thing. So the Magnesium XS RS is the new one to check out there. I'm Paul Harris. Dan and Ian are here with me. And now to talk movies and show business, joining us in the studio, because the boss gave him the afternoon off, Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you today?
I feel great because my voice, it's here. It's not, you know, on a cell phone. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I've missed you, man.
Well,
I
welcome
really have.
Back. Welcome back. It's been about 4 or 5, 6 weeks since you've been here. And I'm happy to see you again.
I'm happy to see you too.
Before we get into draft day, which I guess is that the big movie opening this weekend?
That's the one everyone's talking about. It's the big one.
I wanted to ask you about something I read this week about movie theaters considering cutting prices one day a week to try to get people back into the theaters. Because last year, the movie industry made more money than the year before, $10.9 billion compared to $10.8 billion the year before. But it wasn't because more people went to the movies. It was because ticket prices were up 1, maybe 2%. And a lot of that came because there were 3D movies and they can charge more for 3D tickets.
And for the real 3D as well.
So you're not getting as many people buying tickets and going to the theaters because you can enjoy that entertainment at home now in so many different kinds of ways. So do you think that they can get people back into theaters if they said, you know what, one day a week, it's going to be $5?
Well, it depends on, first off, it depends on the day of the week, okay?
Well, I assume they're going to do it early in the week, a Monday, a Tuesday.
Right, and who, honestly, we'll look at the target audiences of 9 times out of 10 is PG-13 type flicks, right? How many kids are going to be seeing movies on a Monday or Tuesday night?
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. Do they even do matinees still? You remember what you can
there is matinee pricing in quite a few theaters where you can go and see a movie for $4 or $5.
Now, there's some weird enigma that's happening. There's an Arnold Wehrenberg Theater, okay? And for whatever reason, and I have never figured it out, and I always tell myself to write down where the sun aligns with the stars. I've taken my kids to movies before where, you know, you just get bent over on the price. But these last two times I went to this one Arnold 14 cinema, I swear it's been like half the price I expected it to be.
Yeah, like $5.
And I don't know why. I can't. It's always on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea why it worked out that way. But somehow, some way, and I need to figure it out, I'm always afraid to say, hey, are you sure you charged me the right amount? I'm always afraid to say that.
Yeah.
I figured, you know.
Well, obviously, movie theaters are aware of when people usually go, which is in the evening to a 7 or 7:30 or maybe a 9 or 9:30 show. So they don't have to discount the prices at their prime time, but if they can get you in there during the day, you know, they already have the building open and it's all digitally operated and, you know, they're paying the concession stand people. they make a few extra bucks. I have been amazed many times where I have gone during the day because, you know, to me, because of my weekend schedule, because I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday and Thursday are prep days for me. Monday and Tuesday are really my days off. And I have been at a movie theater on a Monday afternoon at maybe a 1:30 show and been the only person there. And I looked around and I went, how could they afford to have this place open now?
And I always ask myself this question. If no one goes, do they play the movie? Like if a tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? So if it's the 1:30 show of drafting next week on a Wednesday.
You mean if I didn't show up on that Monday afternoon, would they show the movie?
Right. That's a good question. Because it's like a radio station that plays music. For every spin, there's a kick to the artist and everything else. They have to record all the spins. So I'm wondering, does a movie theater make a deal with the distributor? Oh, yeah, your film's going to play X number of times on all these different showings. I mean, it's like it's systematic. It's clockwork, right?
I can remember going with my daughter a couple of times to matinees of a movie that had already been out for 4, 5, 6 weeks. So the initial interest was kind of played out. And we got there on like a Saturday afternoon, and it was raining outside. And so we decided to go to the theater, and we went in, and there were maybe 4 other people in the theater. And, of course, my daughter hated when I did this. And I didn't do it to embarrass her. I did it to be funny. But when I saw that it was coming up on the time, like it's almost 4:20 now. Okay, the movie's supposed to start at 4:20. I would turn around at that time and just yell out, okay, Jenkins, anytime you want. And, of course, she'd be completely embarrassed. And I did it several times to her absolute horror. And one time when I did it, I turned around and I said, okay, Jenkins, anytime you want. And at that moment, the lights went down and the show started. Awesome. And another guy in the theater went, whoa.
That is very good. That's well done, man.
So I would think that they would try to do stuff where they set up the pricing so it's on supply and demand. You know, Monday night, nobody's coming. All right, what if we make a $2 movie night?
No, it's okay, because I'm still curious. Do they play the flick if nobody's there? And if that's the case, then I feel so bad for the projectionist. He's got to be all depressed because he doesn't have anything to do. Does he just sit there? See, I would wonder.
But there's no projectionist up there most of the time.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I always imagined there was a dude up there that got to see the same movie like 20 times in a weekend.
No, I think it's, especially in these multiplexes, you go to Ronnie's 20, they got 20 screens, they don't have 20 different projectionists up there.
Okay, so that would mean that they would have to play a movie even if nobody's in there.
I think they do.
So it's just all on like an autopilot then?
Yes, I think that that's exactly what it's like.
Wow. Okay.
I also wonder if they would have to make a deal with the studios if they were to drop the prices down, because a lot of the upfront cost of movie tickets, when you spend, like if you go pay $8 to go see a movie, something like $7.50 on that first weekend goes to the studio.
Right. That's movie theaters don't make jack. It all comes from the concessions and everything else.
Maybe by the fourth or fifth or sixth week of a movie, they're starting to make a bigger percentage. But at the beginning, I wonder if a movie studio would say, you can't charge $2 on Mondays because we still want $7 for that movie.
That's a good point. You know, the one thing that I forgot to mention to you, I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd, as you're aware.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I've tried.
It's never come up before, has it?
No. Okay. Did you know they've already started filming Episode 7? It's already started filming. And they're shooting in Morocco, which they're saying is going to be like the Tatooine desert. So just to put it out there for all the Star Wars nerds, they've already started filming.
When is it coming out?
It'll be out in December of next year.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, but still, though, they haven't announced any confirmed cast. The only two people that have been confirmed is Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And they have confirmed that R2-D2 will appear in the film.
And they have Billy Dee Williams doing the dance sequences because he was so good on Dancing with the Stars.
Man, I feel bad for them. See, Billy Dee Williams, anybody that finds him with a camera, he's like, I'll totally do the movie. I'm just waiting for him to call. They're not going to call.
No.
And the guy's almost 80 years old. You don't want an 80-year-old Lando Calrissian. That's going to be creepy.
I agree.
Plus, the guy's already a caricature of himself anyway.
Well, because of that Dancing with the Stars thing, I think, you know, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he's a guy with a pretty classy career, a couple of Colt 45 commercials aside, made some pretty good movies through the years, and now he's going to be remembered for looking like a 77-year-old man trying to dance on TV. It was sad.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the movie Draft Day, which you and I saw, is it 10 weeks ago?
It's been a long time. I remember before the movie even started, I looked at you like, this thing better be amazing. They're screening it for critics this early. This is some guts that the movie studios
got. I didn't
got.
Know why they were showing it to us in February if it wasn't opening until April. And the draft day for the NFL isn't for a few more weeks. But anyway,
I don't know where.
Anyway,
thank you.
I don't know where to start with this, Paul, because I've read all these great reviews for the movie. I've heard people praising it, and I feel that either you and I have finally, you know, become like one and the same when it comes to reviewing a certain type of film, or maybe we're just not good at being critics. Because I kind of got a feeling that we're on the same page with this movie.
Let's see.
Okay. You want me to start?
Yes.
All right. I went in the draft day, and I expected it to be a kind of Jerry Maguire inside look at, you know, the NFL draft. I know nothing about the NFL draft. I know that I jump on bandwagons and, okay, I'll watch the Super Bowl or I'll get excited. Oh, the Rams, great, whatever. I never really got that much into it. But I liked the movie Jerry Maguire a lot because it's a football movie that really isn't a football movie. And I thought, hey, this could do the same thing. Watching the movie, I just kept waiting for something to happen. It all takes place in a 12-hour time period. And really, I'm just going to put this out there. In my opinion, nothing really happens when you watch draft day. There's really nothing that is, you know, you're suspenseful, that you're on the edge of your seat. I don't remember anything awesome happening in that film. In fact, I remember being very distracted by the way Ivan Reitman decided to cut a lot of the scenes where Kevin Costner is walking across the screen, and then suddenly he's like superimposed in a different scene to the person he's talking to who's walking by him. Just like really weird stuff. Remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if they included all these crazy cutaways, and every time we go to a city to see the big giant Superdome the team plays in, there's the team's big logo right there on the screen, like crazy graphics everywhere. I think to manipulate the audience into thinking, hey, something's really happening. But it's not. I don't remember there being anything about that movie except I did like Dennis Leary's performance. I'm a big Dennis Leary fan. I thought he did a great job not chewing up scenery too much, being reserved in what you would expect him to do. I thought Dennis Leary did a really good job, but I don't get all the love for this film. I was very disappointed.
Here's the bottom line. The movie is about the Cleveland Browns, because Cleveland, and for some reason in sports movies, just has to take it on the shoulder every single time.
Yeah.
You know, Major League, it was about the Cleveland Indians. All right. So they don't make fun of the Cleveland Browns in this movie, but it's inside the Cleveland Browns organization. Kevin Costner is the general manager. Jennifer Garner is his love interest, and she's also the one who's in charge of the salary cap negotiations. She's the lawyer slash accountant on the team. Dennis Leary, who you mentioned, is the head coach of the team. Frank Langella is the owner of the team. I read one review where they said, I think Frank Langella may have sleepwalked through this entire movie, considering he never takes his sunglasses off, even when he's inside. Ellen Burstyn plays Kevin Costner's mother. Kevin Costner's father is dead. He used to be the head coach or general manager of the team, a legendary figure. And it does take place in 12 hours of draft day. Now, I will tell you that I am an NFL fan. When Sundays in the fall come around, my wife and my daughter know Daddy's not going to be available starting at noon, and he won't be available again until Monday. It doesn't matter if the Rams aren't playing that day. I'm going to be watching both games and the nighttime game every single week. I love watching the NFL. However,
and there's always a however in life,
I couldn't care less about the NFL draft. And I think I'm typical of a lot of NFL fans in this country. Now, there are people who are really into the NFL draft.
Well, yeah, in the movie, they actually shot it at the draft last year. It looks like a huge, giant event.
And ESPN carries it live, or maybe this year it's going to be on the NFL Network. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
But it's a big, big deal for them. And there are people who are into fantasy football leagues who are really into it and pay a lot of attention to it. I think, however, that's really a small percentage of people. And if you make a Venn diagram of the people who are into the NFL draft and the people who go to movies, it doesn't overlap all that much, which is why this movie is not going to be big box office.
You don't think so?
You mentioned Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire is a love story. It just so happens that Tom Cruise's character is a sports agent who represents Cuba Gooding Jr., who's a wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. The real story there is not those two, although it's a good story. The real story is Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger. You had me at hello. That's what made women go see that movie. There is not going to be a line of women going to see draft day, and I don't think there's going to be a line of men going to see it either. Now, I agree with you about the way Ivan Reitman directed this movie, and it's a disappointment to me because here's a guy who made some of the best comedies of all time. You know, just throw out, Ghostbusters. He was involved in Stripes. He was involved in Meatballs. He was involved in Twins with Schwarzenegger and DeVito, which I thought was a pretty good movie.
And even though he's the director, not the editor, the pacing of all those movies you just referenced is perfect.
Yep.
Because you keep your interest and everything moves on the right beats.
In this one, it doesn't work that way. I think that somebody had the idea to make this movie because of the success of Moneyball. Moneyball with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, based on the Michael Lewis book, was an interesting look at the inside workings of how a baseball team gets its players, pays its players, trades its players, etc. But it worked because it had that baseball insider perspective. More people are into that in America than inside the NFL draft. Granted, the NFL is a bigger sport than baseball is for most Americans. Not so true here in St. Louis and Cardinal Nation. But in most of America, football is much, much bigger. And you would think that there would be a similar number of people who would be into the NFL draft, but they're not. And besides, that movie told its story well. This story is not told well, and it loses its way because most of what you're seeing is phone calls. The thing that worked about Moneyball was Brad Pitt as Billy Beane, the general manager and owner of the Oakland A's, was he even had to go against his own manager, played by the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, and tell him, look, these are the players we're going to get. Here's a guy who's running the numbers. We're going to explain to you how the numbers work, etc. You could kind of follow along with that and be a part of this team that's trying to create a new kind of success in sports. Draft Day doesn't do that because we're not really in on exactly what it is that Kevin Costner is doing to work towards the climax of the movie. What you really see is him being berated by other people for every decision, which he doesn't explain. Moneyball, he explains things to Philip Seymour Hoffman. In this one, he can't explain it as he goes along because he's kind of going on his gut and he's trying to pull something off here and make moves. And you know what? Phone calls between football owners and general managers, boring movies.
Which is why they edit it in a way where it looks like there's action happening.
We're going to make action out of a split screen of two people talking on telephones.
Right, and they do it so much. And they did it as a mistake. Apparently, I was reading an interview with Ivan Reitman. The whole idea of the whole split-screen thing was kind of a mistake to try and show two conversations at once. And they said, hey, this really works for the pacing of the film. Let's do it everywhere, which is a huge mistake.
I agree. And the other thing that I had a problem with here is it's obvious that the NFL not only cooperated with this, but essentially said, well, you know what? Let's help you make this movie and make us look as good as possible. Roger Goodell is a supporting character. In this movie, he could be up for, if there are any awards available, not an Oscar, but, you know, if there were such a thing still as the Blockbuster Awards, Roger Goodell would be up for supporting actor. That's how much he's in this movie, the commissioner of the National Football League. There are things that go on in this movie that seem like that you should be interested in them, like Jennifer Garner's character and part of her personal life. I'm not going to spoil everything about the movie for you, but in the end, you really don't care because it doesn't serve the story, which at its very heart is not compelling.
I think you did it great when you basically said, I'm paraphrasing, Draft Day is a movie about phone calls.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Right.
You're watching Kevin Costner talk on his cell phone a lot, get in arguments with everybody in his crew. And like you said, he never explains why he does what he does. And then when his big giant reveal is done towards the end of the film, we don't even know what he is doing, what he said he was going to do. And you get where I'm going with that?
I was with him as he kind of pulled something off there. Again, not spoiling anything. But the movie is essentially a 90-minute commercial for the NFL Draft Day.
I agree, and I don't know who the movie is for, because you said a lot of people get into the draft. These people that get into the draft, and they paint their faces, and they show up and scream... They would show up at this film and be like, whoa, 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 is that a romantic subplot? Well, who cares about the chick? I mean, inner office romance, everything else. Oh, I know. Let's throw in an intern or somebody that, you know, could be like, you know, just a whipping boy for everybody to make fun of and everything.
Right. Let's get Sean Combs in here as a sports agent. Why? Well, because we can.
It's just disappointing because I really like Kevin Costner when he's on and when he's doing a great job. I really do like the guy when he's on. And I figured this was a no-brainer. It's a movie about a sport. I'm not going to call it a sports movie. But you say to anybody, hey, well, it's kind of a sports movie with Kevin Costner. Boom, sold. I'm in.
Yeah.
And this is just such a waste of his talent.
I'll tell you this. Anybody who goes expecting a football movie, there's no football. There's no football in this football movie.
There are a couple of clips that they will show when they're looking at some of the players.
Big deal.
But that's exactly. You could do that on a phone with a YouTube video. There's really no. And I. Okay. Earlier today.
This is, that would be like if in Up in the Air, George Clooney had walked past a TV that was showing a Cardinal game. Woohoo!
That's a very good point. All right. Earlier today, right? John Carney had Ivan Reitman on his show.
Yes.
All right. And Ivan Reitman himself even said on this radio station that he liked the movie because of all the suspense.
What suspense?
I know, but neither the Carney and he had Tom O'Keefe, neither one of those guys had seen the movie.
I know.
And I just wanted to just scream. What? Where is there any suspense? Maybe with the final decision Kevin Costner makes or what's going to happen with him and the girl. I mean, really?
You don't create suspense in a movie by putting a clock on the screen and having it count down, unless it's a Bond movie, in which case we know he's going to defuse the bomb when it says 007. That's the only thing that creates suspense with a clock.
In this one, MacGruber.
In MacGruber, true. Yeah. In this one, the clock keeps counting down, and the suspense doesn't go up.
Dan, how's the stone?
It's still there.
All right, run on. Good. Just checking. I'm trying to build suspense.
0 to 10?
Okay. Dennis Leary is the only reason why I give this a 2 out of 10.
I'm giving it a 2 out of 10, not because of Dennis Leary, but because I was highly disappointed here. As an NFL fan, I was looking forward to a movie about the NFL. Not so much about the draft, which I don't care about, as I mentioned, but it let me down.
Yeah, and think about it this way, too. Can you quote one line of that movie?
No.
I can't either.
And you're usually on the clock.
No, but usually that's one thing for me where I'll give a movie a little bit extra. But I mean, all the actors, even Dennis Leary, for me, I should have one line I could quote from this film, and I can't. Not even after we saw it, I couldn't think of anything.
Can I also say, I know our audience hasn't seen it yet, but you have seen it. The whole thing with Ellen Burstyn and the father's ashes, was that just to make the movie 15 minutes longer, or is it my imagination?
No, that was to make the movie seem like there was more going on than phone calls. And even half her character was on the phone, too, talking to her son.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole Ash subplot is ridiculous, and it's only there to serve as a barrier or something between her and her son, played by Kevin Costner, so that there could be some kind of reconciliation at the end when two people hold hands. It's ridiculous. Everybody out there, don't believe the hype. Draft Day really is just a giant egg. I'm sorry, it is.
Here's how you know that the movie's terrible. When you open up the newspaper and you see a full-page ad for it, and it quotes people who you've never heard of in your life from websites that you've never heard of in your life. Jim Jenkins from moviesaregood.com says, fantastic! Who? What? Where? 2 out of 10. Joe and I agree. This is the Big 550 KTRS. More after this. Meep, meep.
Let's throw it to traffic now and check in with Timothy Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan. We've got a couple of problems out there. An accident on the ramp from Jefferson to eastbound 44. Another one down in the Lima area, Bayless at Military. We have slow traffic on southbound 270. Approaching Page down through Ladue. Remains heavy and slow in pockets from Highway 40 down through Doherty Ferry. I guess baseball traffic and Billy Joel traffic coming in on eastbound 40. You're slow from Clarkson up through Mason. We're going to be heavy again, McKnight to Big Bend. Southbound 170 stacks up from Olive down through Highway 40. Eastbound 270, the usual slowdown, McDonald through New Florissant. Northbound 170 heavy from 70 up through Airport Road. And eastbound 40 downtown, you're slowing Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. This traffic report brought to you by Subway. Get to Subway now for the spicy Italian, the $3 6-inch select of April. And don't miss the featured $5 footlong of April, the turkey and Black Forest ham. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
The St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame invites you to honor the Tigers April 12th at Rams Park. It's the SunTrip Automotive Family Salute to Mizzou in St. Louis. See John Cadillac, Norm Stewart, and Johnny Rowland inducted into the Hall of Fame. Also to be honored, Gary Pinkel, Mike Alden, 2013 Cotton Bowl champions, and the 81-82 men's basketball team led by Steve Stepanovich. Food and drinks are included. General admission is $80. Tables at 10 or 1500. Info and tickets can be found at stlshof.com or by calling Tim at 314-226-1190.
It seems like almost overnight, St. Louis went from a buyer's market to a seller's market. But you still want to buy that new home, so what are you going to do? You need to be represented, and you need to be taken care of. Kathy Helbig and the Kathy Helbig Group. Kathy Helbig has been around 17 years as a full-time top producer in the St. Louis metropolitan area. She knows St. Louis County, and she knows St. Charles. She and her team will lead you through all the pitfalls to find that perfect house for you. Yes, she's buyer specialist. Yes, she's a seller specialist and marketing experts. In fact, you name it, she can do it when it comes to real estate. To find out more, it's the Kathy Helbig Group, KathyHelbig.com, or you can go on Facebook and type in What the Helbig and find out more. 314-276-SOLD. Don't do anything. If you're buying a home, don't do anything until you check in with Kathy Helbig and the Kathy Helbig Group. 314-276-SOLD or KathyHelbig.com. And on Facebook, What the Helbig?
Hi, I'm Barry Brown, president of Guardian Wealth Protection. Did you know the annual cost of a very well-known nursing home in the St. Louis area is now between $80,000 and $113,000 per year? Did you know to qualify for a long-term care policy from a top-rated carrier, you must be in good health? Did you know the average person securing long-term care insurance is in their 50s? For over 15 years, I've helped scores of successful, self-reliant families gain peace of mind and financial security by implementing professional long-term care planning solutions. You know, when you think of long-term care, don't think of nursing home insurance. Think it's my stay-at-home around family and friends insurance. Think it's my independence, self-reliance, dignity, and protect my finances insurance. We can't control what life throws our way, but we can control the impact it has on finances and family. I'm Barry Brown, and I can help. Together, we can build your long-term care solution. Call me today to get started at 636-405-2900. That's 636-405-2900, or find us online at wealthpro1.com. That's wealthpro1.com.
Did you know that a Nobel Prize was awarded for a medical discovery that improves your sexual performance? It's true. Nitric oxide was discovered to improve your sexual performance. It also miraculously improves your heart health, blood pressure, energy levels, your immune system, diabetes, arthritis pain, even your memory and mood. That's why millions of men and women have begun taking nitric oxide boosters as daily supplements. And right now, we're releasing free bottles of peak nitric oxide so you can discover the benefits for yourself. Be one of the first 100 callers at 1-800-400-3181. After extensive research and clinical tests, nitric oxide has been described as the miracle molecule of the 21st century. Taken once a day, you'll not only begin feeling years younger, but we'll also send you free test strips to prove it works. Discover how to get your free bottle of peak nitric oxide and free test strips at 1-800-400-3181. Be one of the first 100 callers. 1-800-400-3181.
Here's a quick quiz from SelectQuote that can literally change your life. First, how much did your family earn last year? How much were your expenses? Now, if something tragic happened to you or your spouse, do you have enough put aside to cover those expenses for several years? If not, you need life insurance. Now, I know money is tight, but you probably don't know that term life insurance through SelectQuote can be incredibly affordable. I'm Heather McFadden, a SelectQuote agent. Every day, I impartially shop highly rated life insurance companies and find healthy people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s hundreds of thousands of dollars in protection for only a dollar or two a day. That's right, only a dollar or two a day. See for yourself. All it takes is a quick, no-obligation call to SelectQuote.
Call 1-800-600-7371. 1-800-600-7371. 1-800-600-7371 or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
I've made an executive decision and I've decided to take care of my own yard. I realized that it was cheaper and I could do it better, but I need help, and that's why I'm turning to DynaGreen. Ask anybody about DynaGreen and you'll notice what I notice is that they have a cult-like following. When you talk about DynaGreen, they're very well known with commercial landscapers. Well, now they're making products for you and me, the consumer. This weekend, you need to put down your crabgrass preventer from DynaGreen. You have this weekend and maybe next weekend, and then it'll be too late. So if you take care of your own yard or you want to take care of your own yard, DynaGreen has a system that is perfect for you and me. I call it McGraw-proof. I can't even mess it up. Ask your local independent lawn and garden dealer, DynaGreen. Get the crabgrass preventer for this weekend, and don't forget the DynaGreen spreader. DynaGreenInfo.com for more information. This weekend, your independent lawn and garden dealer, DynaGreen, or DynaGreenInfo.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, a retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Joe Hipperson's here to talk movies and showbiz stuff.
All right, maybe I'm crazy, but Dan, see if I'm right. This riff that we're listening to, that's the same chord progression as like, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, right? The da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, and there's like so many songs that the exact same...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, there was there's another one, another Beatles, something that, I can't remember what song it was, but it was like after a George Harrison or John Lennon song.
Ian found something online today that is Beatles related that somebody put up that they claim was Paul McCartney ripping off John Lennon.
What? No, it was just a mashup.
Oh, they
this
weren't
was just a mashup.
They weren't trying to make a point?
No. No, this was just somebody who pieced these two things together.
I misunderstood what you said about it. All right. You want to play it?
Sure.
Okay. So what did they do?
They took the instrumental of Imagine by John Lennon. And then,
which is just that electric piano.
Right. And then they took the vocals of Band on the Run by the Wings.
Oh,
by Wings.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Stop it right there. Right there, it doesn't work.
Yeah, it kind of
goes off.
The
piano goes down and McCartney's voice goes up, and it's the key is wrong, isn't it, Dan?
It sounds like it may be a little off.
Play it again.
It does sound off.
Play it again.
When he first starts,
it kind of fits in the beginning.
Yeah, it fits.
Right here.
Exploded with a mighty crash as we fell into the sun.
Yeah, because Imagine's in a minor key there.
And the first one,
and McCartney's singing in a major key.
It's actually kind of cool, though.
Yeah. I mean, they sped up Imagine a little bit, and they slowed down Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit clever. Do you have the Marvin Gaye thing? Did you guys play that on the air yet?
No, we did not.
Every once in a while somebody finds these isolated vocal tracks.
Oh, yeah. What was that one you played? Was it Happy Together?
Yes, by the Turtles.
That, and I looked it up on YouTube after you played it, is one of the most beautiful vocal harmonies I've ever heard.
I agree. But, and there are some that sound odd, like I once played the David Bowie singing the harmony track on, was it Space Oddity? And it just sounded absolutely wrong. And the same thing with David Lee Roth
that
on...
was brilliant.
What was it, on Pretty Woman or Running
Hot for
with
Teacher.
The Devil? Hot for Teacher, yeah.
It was just a bunch of...
Yeah. So somebody found Marvin Gaye, one of the most soulful singers of all time, doing I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Ooh, I bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. Between the two of us guys, you know I love you more. It took me by surprise, I must say, when I found out yesterday. Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer would you be mine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine. Oh, I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, well.
You know, when you hear it with the music on the recording, you don't hear the raspiness in his voice as he's singing it there.
That was awesome.
I don't know if they smoothed it out or what they did, but man, that absolutely did sound great.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the show American Idol anymore, but if I'm ever a guest judge on a show like that, I would take that track, and anytime some dumb kid wants to come across like they're a singer, I wouldn't even give them my review of the, what they did. I would just play that, and hopefully they would walk right away. Seriously.
Yeah, I'd like to play you something that's not pitchy, dog. There you go. While we're playing audio... Have you seen the commercial for this new Amazon set-top box called the Amazon Fire TV?
No.
Amazon's decided to take on Apple TV, which is a box that you can get that streams stuff from iTunes or other devices. And Netflix has one called Roku, which it streams their stuff, as well as others. The thing about all of these devices is they all stream the other. It's not like you can only get one for Netflix, then you got to get a different one for Amazon. But Amazon has now come out with something they call the Amazon Fire TV. And to star in their TV commercial, they hired Gary Busey.
Seriously?
And by the way, I'm talking modern day Gary Busey, not Buddy Holly Gary Busey, not even Under Siege Gary Busey. I'm talking 2014 Gary Busey.
You're talking about sloppy Gary Busey.
Yes, listen. Okay.
If you're like me, you like talking to things. Like,
hello, lamp.
Hello, Gary.
See? Hello, pants.
Thank you, fish, for being here.
But it's frustrating when things don't listen, especially high-tech things. Find Gary Busey.
So he's pushing the button on the Netflix Roku box, telling it to find Gary Busey, and it's not listening to him and doing it.
But this new Amazon Fire TV listens to me and does exactly what I say. Gary Busey.
And then it comes up with Gary Busey movies on the screen, and he can choose from them.
Yay! Amazon Fire TV!
Okay.
That's one of the creepiest, most disturbing things I've ever listened to.
You should see it with the visuals.
Yeah, I'm sure the video's even worse.
I'm just imagining, my God, what if I'm walking into a parking lot one day and I get hit over the head and I wake up and I'm abducted? I'm imagining that's the guy who's abducted me.
Hello, lamb.
And I'm telling you, at the very beginning of that...
Hello, pants.
At the very beginning, it sounded like if Matthew McConaughey in 30 years decides to play a creepy pedophile, that's what he sounds like.
You know what? It sounds like every Gary Busey character from the Lethal Weapon series.
Yeah.
By the way, he says in there, but none of them talk back to me. Guess what? This doesn't talk back to him either. No. It just puts something on the screen.
Wow. It's great advertising.
By the way, I can't think of a reason why you would want to buy this device unless you haven't bought any of the other devices. I mean, if you already have a Roku, you don't need this. If you have the Google Chromecast, you don't need this. This thing, by the way, costs $99, just like the other devices I've been mentioning here.
Yeah.
Last year, our DVD player, which we had had for a long time, finally just died on us. So I went to a big box store. I don't want to mention names. It rhymes with Schmeschmai. I picked up a Blu-ray DVD player there for $79, brought it home, and it had streaming video from Netflix, Amazon, YouTube. It had audio from Pandora and Spotify. In other words, everything that the $99 box has, plus it plays DVDs. Why would I buy Gary Busey's box there?
Because there are a lot of people out there that still are buying regular standard edition DVDs. They don't have a Blu-ray player yet. They don't realize, like you just said, I've got a Blu-ray player, and it's got Netflix, YouTube already installed on there for me.
Yeah.
I didn't buck up for any of that.
Hooks up to the Wi-Fi in the house, no problem.
I know where you went. You went to Circuit City.
Yeah, shh. No brand names.
Oh.
I think Circuit City died about 2 years ago, yes, by the way. They're out of business.
Oh, CMC Stereo.
It's the stone. It's messing with other areas of the brain.
That must be it. So there's Gary Busey trying. But, by the way, in my life, if Gary Busey recommends something, I will purposely avoid that thing.
It's almost, you know what, I've got to get the audio of that, because I guarantee I could cut a really scary movie trailer with just his voice, like, on the phone.
Oh, sure.
Like, recut.
Hello, pants.
Yeah. That's some creepy stuff.
You can find the video on YouTube.
The only thing I got to just throw out there is a reminder, everybody, apparently there's this show called Mad Men that I completely forgot about. It even existed. Their final season premiere happens on Sunday. I am binge watching this thing because I'd never watched a single episode before.
Yeah.
I'm hooked big time. Oh, yeah. Big time. So I've got to.
Are you in your mind Don Draper or Roger Sterling?
Okay. I think I'd be Roger, but I wish I was Don. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be down? Well, I guess there's somebody back and forth. And I'm sorry, I'm going to put this out there.
There's no chance you're Pete Campbell, is there?
Okay, see, I don't have all the names down yet. I know I'm watching the show, but I'm going so fast, I'm not paying attention to the names. All I can tell you...
Weasley guy.
Oh, the Weasley guy?
Yeah.
No, he just looks like he belongs on Chippendale's Rescue Rangers or something, if anybody can remember that.
Yeah, oh
the red, goodness. The redhead is not doing it for me.
Everybody Christina Hendricks as Joan?
Yeah, just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. It's just weird. Her body is weirdly proportioned.
Yes, in a good way.
Yes.
It's just bizarre. It's almost like she's a hot chick standing in front of a funhouse mirror. It's just too bizarrely out there.
I disagree. I disagree. And I will tell you, how far into it are you? Still watching like the first season?
I'm trying to get to the end of season one right now.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that her character, Joan, and then Peggy Olson, who really is kind of the second lead. It's really more about Don Draper and Peggy Olson as the series goes forward through the first six seasons. Everybody on that show develops in such a wonderfully realistic way that Matthew Weiner, who's the showrunner on Mad Men, has done a fantastic job. And incidentally, yes, they're starting the final season, but they're splitting it into 2 years like they did with Breaking Bad on AMC. This Sunday night is the beginning of season 7A, in which you will get 7 episodes over the course of the next 2 months. And then next year, you'll get 7B, which will be the final season of the show, another 7 episodes.
And they're already in the can, though, right? They're already shot.
I don't know if they've done all 14, but I would assume that they have so that everybody looks the same because,
right.
They've already taken a year and a half off.
So Christina Hendricks, that's the redhead that I'm not vibing on?
Correct.
All right, next time I come in to see you, I'm going to get 2 2-liter bottles and put them under my shirt. That's how odd she looks to me.
Well, you got
to
understand that at the beginning of that, when you're watching it, it's 1960 and she's wearing 1960 underwear, which gave it that bottles under the shirt look. But that, you wait as the show goes along the 60s. And when it starts up this Sunday night, all I know about the show is it's now 1968, which was a year of a lot of change in America. Mad Men will be on AMC on Sunday night. We have time to go to the clubs. What's happening?
All right, let's go real quick here. Let's go. Friday, tonight, we have Hung Like a Martyr at Foo Bar, Shaky Graves at the Blueberry Hill, Roll Fast Ramblers at Gramophone, The Trip Daddies at Lemons, Bone Daddy at Turner's on Main Street, Stagger Cat at the Sky Music Lounge. On Saturday, Black Death at Fubar. The Hobo Sexuals are at the Schlafly Tap Room. The Chill Dogs are at Lemons. Ellen the Felon at the Heavy Anchor. Bob Bumblebee Comiskey is at BB's Jazz and Blues. Billy and the Jets are at the Stagger Inn again. We've also got the Southside Johnny Band at the Firehouse Bar and Grill on Lime Ferry, 8 p.m. till midnight. You might see a Stone Past live on stage.
By Dan Strauss, yeah. Yes.
And two really cool concerts by two brilliant piano men. I've got to throw this out there. Tonight, Billy Joel at the Scott Trade Center. Saturday, Ben Folds at the Powell Symphony Hall.
Mm.
And last but not least...
Let me just mention, I read an article today, earlier this week, an elementary school on Long Island, not far from where Billy Joel lives. They were having the kids performing Billy Joel songs, and somebody at the school sent him an invitation, jokingly thinking, well, he'll never show up, but we'll invite him. 5 minutes before the show started, Billy Joel walks into the elementary school auditorium and sits down and listens to these kids from kindergarten up to sixth grade perform his songs, and he applauds after each one and gave him a standing ovation at the end.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The teachers probably went crazy.
I'm sure they did.
That's very, very cool. Here are 5 concerts, 4 absolutely real, 1 completely fake. Are we ready?
Yep.
Gas House Gorillas, Saturday at the Blues City Deli. Disco Doom, Friday at Foo Bar. Trampo Queen, Saturday at Cicero's. Typhoon Jackson, Saturday at the Heavy Anchor. The Stiffs, Friday at Blank Space.
Dan, I'm going to let you go first.
Man, I'm going to... Go Typhoon Jackson.
Oh, man. That's what I was going to say, too.
All right. I'm taking Trampo Queen.
I was going to do that one.
That is why Paul Harris is the man.
Thank you.
Trampo Queen, completely made up by me. You can steal it if you want. Give me credit in the liner notes. I will talk to you guys next week. I'm out. Joe Hipperson, Big 550, KTRS, hip on entertainment.
Joe's brought to you by Auric. All around the St. Louis area and online at ORECK.com. Check out the new Auric Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner. Meep, meep.
All right, let's get a quick check on traffic. Here's Timothy Weiland.
Well, I find it interesting. You guys were just talking about Billy Joel. Guess who just popped his head in here at the airport to say hi?
Oh,
Billy
really?
Joel?
Yeah, he just landed, and they had a police escort, and he came in to use the restroom and heard us talking, came in and said hi, and popped out.
And you didn't think, well, let me just grab him and get him on microphone here because Paul wants to talk to him?
Well, yeah, all right.
Hey, Billy, come here.
Easily done.
Mr. Joel?
Just tell him we have just tell him we have elementary school kids that are singing his songs. He'll come right in.
Yeah, we should have started going in song.
We could have had him come in and serenade the stone of Dan Strauss.
Yes.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Turn the stone.
That's yeah. A yellow,
I
not Billy
the
Joel.
Stone. Oh, that's right.
Go ahead.
That's the stone. Okay. Hey, we've got an accident now. It's on the North Outer Road Highway Drive at Bowles, and it's not an accident. It's actually a vehicle that's in full flames right now. They have the right lane blocked. Drivers on westbound 44 are slowing down to take a look, and that's slowing from Merrimack River Bridge out through Bowles. We also have an accident on the Museo Bridge in the eastbound lanes, and that's backing things up pretty bad on eastbound 70 and also on eastbound 44 leading up to the Museo Bridge. Boy, heavy traffic on eastbound 40 from Boone's Crossing all the way up to Highway 270. You're slow again from Clayton Warson into Big Bend. Southbound 170 slows from Page down through Highway 40. We're looking at southbound 270, stop and go from Page through Ladue and then slow from Highway 40 down to Doherty Ferry. This traffic report is brought to you by Denny's. Eat great for just $4. You can with Denny's 2-4-6-8 value menu, like the $4 everyday value slam. Look for Denny's coupons in this week's mail and visit one of their 30 St. Louis area Denny's. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limpress and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or download their STL Taxi app for your smartphone. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, everybody. Good Friday afternoon. Well, earlier today, HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius resigned at the White House. She's going to go back to her old job. Playing Cruella DeVille from the 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, wow.
She's the woman that was in charge of the Obamacare website. The website's still not 100%. In fact, today I actually tried to log on and wound up losing $200 in Texas Hold'em. I know it's possible, but it didn't happen. Yeah. And one last one here. They say the closer you live to a bar, it's kind of interesting, the more likely you are to become a heavy drinker.
Hmm.
They say the closer you live to a Dunkin' Donuts, the more likely you are to be a come governor of New Jersey. So, Cleveland Simon brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the AM and the PM Cab Cup. Oh, hey, Billy, how are you? Nice to see you. Good to stop in here, too.
Oh, that's nice. Wow.
Everywhere.
That's very, very nice.
Have a good weekend, everybody. See
you. Thank you. Just like Tim, Bill decided not to invite him to be on the show. Oh, very, very nice. Team players. We're coming up on 5 o'clock here. I've got a great topical Harris challenge. All 5 categories will be topical this week. And we'll also have a brand new batch of knuckleheads in the news for you. And Mike Evans will join us as well. All as we roll into the final hour of the large morning show in the afternoon on the Big 550. KTRS St. Louis.
From ABC News.